Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Mingwei Huang, an internationally recognized expert on AI and co-author of The Feeling Economy, How Artificial Intelligence is Creating the Era of Empathy. And Mingwei, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly our pleasure, and thanks for your time. So tell us, Mingwei, why is artificial intelligence creating a feeling economy?
Yes, this is our original theory, and it's very intriguing because when people think about artificial intelligence, that has nothing to do with feeling. But that's right, because artificial intelligence is technology. And it's a super computing thinking machine. It really does not do anything about feeling. So when AI becomes more and more powerful over time, it really can be super smart in thinking, but not in feeling. So that really gives humans a great opportunity to do the feeling jobs, to be better in feeling. So when AI is doing the thinking jobs and the humans are doing the feeling jobs, that gives rise to the feeling economy. So that's the entire theory. Very powerful, but people did not think of that way, that AI actually pushed people to the feeling area so that the feeling part, feeling sectors, feeling tasks, feeling jobs will become even more important in the future for humans. And that is the feeling economy.
Mingwei, thanks so much for informing us well on that. Good information. Now, how will jobs actually change in the feeling economy? I'm sure our listeners would like to hear some details on that.
In the feeling economy, if we look at the task level for a given job, typically a job will comprise of different kinds of tasks. Some tasks are very administrative, mechanical. Some tasks are really thinking heavy, like a lot of data crunching, calculations. And some jobs are more about interpersonal communication. So the feeling economy will make the feeling tasks, feeling jobs, feeling sectors, and all these feeling parts become more important. I can use one example of that, even for financial analysis or for data analysis. Their jobs will become more toward the interpersonal communication part. And the one practitioner actually told us that even if he is a data scientist, his job, he spends more time these days to communicate the results with his clients and with his colleagues than before, because now AI can do a lot of this data analysis job for him. He doesn't have to actually do those jobs. AI can do much better than him, and he spends all his time to communicate the results, to communicate the outcome with his clients. So you can see this is the trend that is going to be this way. And if we look at the business, enterprise level, so enterprise also need to realize that the feeling components of your business will become more important. For example, that's why we like to use the historical example about Facebook, Twitter. These social medias become more important and may become even more important in the future compared to Google's. If Google keep on being a thinking search engine. But those social networking websites actually really tap into the communication, interpersonal relationship part. That will become even more important in the future. That is a very good contrast between when companies want to run their business or people want to start a new business, they really need to put more weight in the feeling part of their business.
Also, another perspective I'd like to hear your input on. You say that the feeling economy will be a time of unprecedented power and influence for women. Why is that? Talk to us about that as well.
It's because by nature, by human nature, actually, we don't want to be criticized about the stereotype that men are thinking and the females are feeling, but actually there is a biological basis about that. Of course, the gender difference can be at within the individual level or across the gender level. So if we take a view in general on a biological basis, females tend to be. Females tend to be more thinking or feeling oriented, and the men tend to be more thinking oriented. So in this way, when females are by nature tend to be more feeling oriented, they are in a better position in the feeding economy. And that in the current thinking economy, females actually are in a disadvantaged position in labor market, in the job market, simply because they probably tend to be more feeling oriented. So we predict that in the feeding economy, actually females can get a better position. They will be more important because they are by nature to be more feeling oriented. Instead, and of course, nowadays, females are by training to be thinking oriented. So when females can be trained to be thinking oriented, and by nature they can be feeling oriented, they are in a better position. And we think it would be more likely to be give females an equal opportunity in the labor market or in the economy.
Really do appreciate the insight and information so far. Quite helpful and informative today. We're joined by Mingwei Huang, an internationally recognized expert on AI and co-author of The Feeling Economy, How Artificial Intelligence is Creating the Era of Empathy. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, STEM is the hot thing right now. Is it really true that STEM training will be obsolete? What's your thought on that?
It will always be there, but it cannot be the only thing. So it's more like IQ and EQ. STEM education is to train people to be better in IQ. But we, in addition to that, we also need to have education to train people to be better in EQ. So in the future, it's not that a STEM education will be obsolete, but it cannot be the only thing. Our current education system or skill trainings focus on STEM only, and that is not correct. And that is going to make laborers or workers lose their competitiveness in the future because they don't have proper non-STEM training.
Mingwei, another question for you. Is there evidence in recent political elections that empathy is now key and rationality is becoming less important? I'd like to hear your input on that.
Yes. Do you see any rationality at all? You can see if you look at Biden's campaign, Biden really played the empathy factor in his campaign. And even now he emphasized for whenever he talks, he really put empathy as a priority to feel, to show his feeling for others, his ability to think from others' perspective. And if we look at the other side, look at the Republican side, we probably don't see a lot of rational part. We can see the conspiracy theory. So you can both sides are not really rational. When I say rational, I don't mean they are not irrational. So these are two things. And then they all play the feeding factors. But one uses it in a positive way. That's what we emphasize in the book. That is empathy, to be able to think for others, to be able to think from others' perspective. And you can also play emotions, but that emotion is just to be irrational. So they both emphasize the feeling components in their political campaigns.
I certainly appreciate your thoughts and input on that. Much appreciated. Now, can AI actually be creative?
Yes, this is a very interesting question because people really think about whether that is possible. And in our theory, you consider that in the near future, it's very difficult for AI to be biologically feeling capable. But for creativity, can AI be capable of being creative? I think the key is we need to understand what is the definition of creativity. Creativity means creativity is not equal to something new. It needs to be something new that is liked by the society. People like it. The new thing that can be liked by people is creativity. And there are a lot of new things that people don't like. That is not creativity. So when AI can compose music, when AI can draw paintings, very often they are really ugly. And they really don't resonate with us. So for that kind of creativity, AI cannot do it very well. So AI so far is not very successful in creativity. That require likeness. People need to like it because likeness is about is contextual, is culture. That is difficult for AI to achieve. But if for the creativity that does not require generating all these brand new things, being liked, then AI is more successful. For example, if they can discover, they can help to discover new drugs, they can help for R&D, but humans need to evaluate whether those R&D output is good or not. So it's more like humans still play the judge role, but AI can help to discover those new things.
Now, here's a big question for you. Will AI ever get to the point where it is smarter than people in all ways?
My answer is AI can get smarter than humans in AI way, in machine ways, because AI is computing machine. AI does not have the biological component. So AI maybe someday, and even nowadays, a lot of companies use AI to do customer services. And the customer services really require emotional intelligence. They use AI, it's not because AI can feel like human feel, like humans way. The biological, humans' emotion has a biological basis. AI do it in the calculating way, analytical way. And that is different. So AI cannot. The prediction is AI can outsmart humans in the machine way, but they cannot out humans in a biological way. So if we recognize that we are biological beings, then we will be in a better position to collaborate with AI.
Mingwei, really appreciate your insight and information shared here today. Of course, your book is titled The Feeling Economy, How Artificial Intelligence is Creating the Era of Empathy. Lastly, and before we conclude, what is necessary to produce AI that has feeling intelligence?
This is the first time I encountered this question. I love this question because this is really the bottleneck. We need to, for AI to have feeling intelligence, AI need to be able to sensor, to simulate, and to react appropriately to human emotions. So the third part is the most difficult. Nowadays, you can have a biotechnology. You can wear a smart iWatch, so that it can measure your biometrics. So AI can capture the emotional data already. Can sensor emotional data and can simulate. So Microsoft also demonstrate that they can have an AI to make an appointment and then the human recipient cannot tell the difference at all. So capture emotional data, simulate emotional reactions, AI can do that. But to react to human emotions appropriately, again, it involves interactions, involves what is considered as appropriate. That is the bottleneck of AI.
Mingwei, again, thanks so much for your time. If listeners wanted to connect with you and to get more information online or to pick up your book, The Feeling Economy, where is the best place to do so?
The book is for sale on Amazon.com. So if you go to Amazon.com and search The Feeling Economy, you can find the book. And you also can go to my university. I'm affiliated with National Taiwan University. So if you go to National Taiwan University website and key my name, you can also find more information about me.
And of course, we'll leave links within the show notes of this broadcast of further aid as well. Again, Mingwei, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on EPN.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
And certainly was our pleasure anytime. We've been speaking with Mingwei Huang, an internationally recognized expert on AI and co-author of The Feeling Economy, How Artificial Intelligence is Creating the Era of Empathy. And for more details, visit management.ntu.edu.tw. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.